This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the friend I plan to send you from the Father comes, the Spirit of truth issuing from the Father, he will confirm everything about me. You too, from your side, must give your confirming evidence, since you are in this with me from the start. I've told you these things to prepare you for rough times ahead. They're going to throw you out of the meeting place. There will even come a time when anyone who kills you will think he's doing God a favor. They will do these things because they never really understood the Father. I've told you these things so that when the time comes and they start in on you, you'll be well warned and ready for them. I didn't tell you this earlier because I was with you every day. But now I'm going on my way to the one who sent me. Not one of you have asked, where are you going? Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you've become. So let me say this again. This truth. It's better for you if I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he'll expose the error of this godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. That righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control. That judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he'll take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but he'll make sense out of what is about to happen and indeed out of all that I have done and said. He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. This is why I've said, he takes from me and delivers to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Gracia, misericordia, y paz de Dios nuestro Padre, y de Cristo Jesús, nuestro Señor. Yes, it's Pentecost. And our Pentecost story told about how the Holy Spirit comes and the disciples start speaking in different languages. But that's not the reason I chose to greet you in Spanish today. Do you realize that every time I've had the opportunity to preach at Mountain of Faith until today, I've greeted you by saying, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard me say it so often that I thought I might get your attention if I said the same thing, but in a different way. I kind of think that that's what St. John had in mind when he decided to tell us in his own way about the Holy Spirit. It's just a little different than the rest of the Gospels. So I'd like to try to ask you to imagine St. John as an old, old man. The other Gospel writers and even the Apostle Paul have written their books. And they've all died. It's been over 50 years since Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. And all of a sudden, you get this feeling that God is calling you to write your own gospel. You have all the scrolls written by your friends in front of you. You have the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You have the letters of Paul, and even the writings of Peter. And you can refer to them as you sit down to write. And in your heart, you know God is calling you to tell His story. And you know that that story has been told and told well by all your friends that came before. You get this distinct impression, though, that God is calling you to write the same story, but to do it in your own way. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, your gospel account takes on a whole different flavor than everything that's been written about Jesus up until this time. This gospel speaks to listeners and readers in a completely different way, and yet it's absolutely faithful. It proclaims the truth about God the Father, God the Son, and especially God the Holy Spirit. And it's on this Pentecost Sunday that we're going to be enriched by John's understanding of what one Bible scholar calls the shy member of the Trinity. The first clue that we get that John's doing something completely different is from the unique word that he uses to name the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's so unique, no other writer in the Bible ever uses this name. It's only John. It's the word that in our gospel lesson, Eugene Peterson translates as friend. And as much as I like and respect Eugene Peterson, to me the word friend just doesn't really, it doesn't capture everything, doesn't do justice to that wonderful Greek word that John uses in his gospel. John uses, it's really a compound Greek word. Para is the first part of it. It means alongside, kind of like a paralegal works alongside an attorney. And the second part of the word is kaleo, from the verb to call. John's unique name for the Holy Spirit is parakleto, or one called to come alongside believers. It's a neat image. And by using this unique word, John is trying to get those early Christians to understand, and he's trying to get us to understand that he's going to do something different with this idea of the Holy Spirit. He has something fresh to tell us about it. You know, when John looked at those scrolls in front of him, he would have seen that for Paul, the Holy Spirit was all about the distributing of spiritual gifts. Paul's letter to the Romans and the Corinthians gives a lot of detail about how the Holy Spirit comes and distributes spiritual gifts to believers. And John's friend Luke wrote a lot about how the Spirit was actively involved in the activities of the early church. And we read all about that in the book of Acts. The other gospel writers talk about how the Spirit was involved in Jesus' baptism and in the baptism of other believers. So John's take on the Holy Spirit adds two new, fresh ideas, fresh insights on the role of that one that's called to come alongside us. For John, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is the continuing presence of Jesus in the church. And then secondly, the Spirit is the one who's sent to testify and witness and teach the world about what God's doing in the world through Christ. And all we got to do is read our gospel lesson and we get that. When Jesus says this, when the friend comes, the Spirit of the truth, he'll take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all that I have done and said. You see, even though Jesus won't physically be there, he doesn't leave his followers orphans. The Spirit remains to take each one of us by the hand and lead us to the truth about Christ. And as important as that promise is to us today, it would have been even more important to those first believers. Because after all, they had known God incarnate. They'd known Jesus and talked and walked and ate with him every day for 3 years. And it wasn't always easy. At one point in his ministry, a big group of people following Jesus just up and left because he was giving them some pretty hard teaching. And when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you also wish to go away?" Peter responded, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to know and believe that you are the Holy One of God." But now all of a sudden the disciples face that reality that Jesus was leaving them. And Peter's question, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" It just sort of tears at your heart because you know they felt lost. They had to wonder, with Jesus gone, do the words of eternal life still apply? And so the real question for those early believers, and really even for us, is that was Jesus' revelation of God, was it limited to a particular moment in history? Or does it have a future? The happy truth for those early believers and us is that the Holy Spirit gives it a future. Through the Spirit, we can experience the reality today of Jesus Christ in our lives. Because the Spirit continues the work of Jesus and makes His ministry possible in every time and place. Because of the Spirit, the ascension of Jesus isn't the end. It's the beginning for people of faith. The Spirit makes Jesus' work present to believers today, even though Jesus has gone to be with God the Father. Now, because of the Spirit, there are no time or space limitations on the love of Christ. And there's no limitation on our access to that love. And the one thing that St. John really wants to make sure that we understand is that the very best place to experience that love is within the community of believers. John wants us to know that the work of the Spirit extends beyond just the experience of individuals. The Spirit's hard at work in the church. And the way we join in that work is to take the love of Christ to the whole rest of the world. And at Mountain of Faith, we do that by proclaiming God's Word and by reaching out to those in need. That's our understanding as to how we're supposed to join the Spirit in His work. And then John also talks about the Holy Spirit as teacher and witness. As teacher and witness, the Spirit shapes the church today. We see this in our gospel lesson when Jesus says He won't draw attention to Himself but will make sense out of what's about to happen and indeed out of all that I've done and said. Part of what the Spirit does when He comes alongside us is just to remind us of the things that Jesus said and did. And it sounds simple, but it's hard to overestimate how important this is. Because the only way we experience Jesus now is through the Spirit. When Jesus says in our gospel lesson, "I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now," He's talking not just to His disciples, but He's talking to us too. Because thanks to the Spirit, Jesus' word comes fresh to us in our time of need. It's always amazed me that we can read Scripture and we can read those words and we can understand them at a certain level. But when we're really in dire need, the Spirit of God speaks to us in a fresh, new way from those very words that we thought we had read and understood. But something new comes to us through them. Hasn't every parent tried to tell their children something that they thought that they would need later in life? And no matter how we try to say it, it just seems that they can't quite hear. They can't quite handle it in advance of their need. And the best we can hope for is that when the time comes, the child will remember. They can look back and say, "Oh, that's what Mom or Dad was talking about." And it works the same way in the community of believers. I can't tell you how many times the Spirit has brought a Bible verse to mind, or I've seen something fresh and new in words that I've read 100 times because something particular was going on in my life at that particular time. One of the great things about being part of a community of believers is that we have opportunities to learn from one another, because the Spirit speaks in different ways to different people at different times. And when we're talking amongst ourselves, we can learn from one another. This is so important in the life of the church. Big things have happened as a result of this. Back when the church had lost its way in the Middle Ages, Martin Luther and the other reformers, with fresh eyes, read those passages of Scripture that had to do with grace. And the work of the Spirit moved the church in a whole different, healthy direction. And so the Spirit guarantees that Jesus' words will always be able to be read fresh by people, whenever they're heard. St. John helps us understand how the Holy Spirit comes alongside in the community of believers as teacher and witness to the truth about Jesus. John helps us understand how the Spirit moves the words of Jesus out of a particular time and place, and he moves them right into the present life of the church. It just seems like the past, present, and future of the church just converge. They meet in the Holy Spirit. So on this Pentecost Sunday, let's pray. Let's ask for the Spirit to fill this place, just as the Spirit filled those early believers. We can ask the Spirit to fall afresh on us, guide us, and lead us into all truth, so that God can be glorified in this place. Amen.